Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am absolutely adequate.
Adequate. That's good. Yep. Better than inadequate. Yep. It's not bad. Yep.
Well, that would describe much of my life and my teams, but okay.
Corey, it's been a very interesting offseason for the Tennessee Titans to this point.
Oh, my.
And another wrinkle added over the weekend. Legarius Sneed, now a Tennessee Titans. Titans giving up a third-round pick in 2025, swapping seventh-round picks this year in 2024, and now get their number one cornerback coming in on a four-year deal. What do you make of that move and what that does for this Titans defense?
Well, I mean, it's a really aggressive move, and it's, you know, I hate saying I didn't expect this much this quickly, but it's really more than I expected, you know, in this off season, you know, from this team, and maybe that was foolish of me with the amount of cap space they have, but I guess that's kind of what I've grown accustomed to. But I mean, listen, I mean, you know, when they got Cheeto, I thought, you know, okay, they're largely done over there, except for maybe adding a vet or a draft pick or whatever. So, I mean, they've really addressed an area that has been largely inadequate for a good period of time. And so the other thing it tells me is they want to win this year. And, you know, I didn't know how realistic that was going into this off season. I probably didn't think it was very realistic at all. You know, I'm not saying they're Super Bowl contenders, but I certainly think they can contend for a playoff spot if they can, you know, get their offensive line, you know, tweaked up a little bit. And maybe I should have considered more that Levis has got 3 years left on his rookie deal, and that this is that window where you've really got to strike, because you've got an extra $40 million in cap space, you know, because your quarterback's on a rookie deal. And so I probably should have expected them to be more aggressive. I know that's a really long answer, but there's layers to it.
Well, that's the thing, Corey. Some of the reaction around the league about this has been almost like confusion. Like, these are go-for-it moves. But my, like I said this earlier, like, to me, a go for it move for a team that's like feels it so close is like, okay, let's go get Clowney and hope he's got a big year in him. Let's trade for Julio and hope he's still Julio.
Yeah, second pick for Julio. Yeah, I agree. This like, is a young guy.
If you can get core players that you want on your team for multiple years, I mean, in this league, how long is a rebuild supposed to last in the NFL anymore? A year?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And you're right about Sneed. He's not adding a vet. He's 26 years old, and he's 4 years in. And I mean, and he is a core player because he's an outstanding player, and he's the type of player, you know, you want. He's a tough dude. I also think there's a large disconnect between what the Titans think of Will Levis and what a lot of the league might think of Will Levis.
Yes. At this point. Yes.
You know, a lot of the league is like, well, are we really sure about him? Are the Titans really sure about these moves? All tell me the Titans are pretty sure about Will Levis.
To that point, I mean, we were going through this earlier, Corey. You get the number one wide receiver that's available in free agency, the number one center that's available in free agency, the number one cornerback that's out there, and you can make an argument they got the number one and number two, or maybe the number one and number three with Cheeto involved with that as well. I mean, Rand Carthon is putting in some work so far this offseason. What do you make of his approach and the aggressiveness that we've seen from him?
Yeah, well, it's like I said. I mean, they want to win now. I mean, they're not trying. I mean, they're obviously rebuilding and retooling, you know, for what this coaching staff wants compared to the last one, which I'll say the attitude towards it is vastly different. I don't think we're going to see quite as many overachievers now, and they'll just go for ball players. And you know, you're seeing that you're going for guys with high production. You know, and we could say they went for guys with high production before, but they were guys who were pretty old. You know, these, you know, Ridley's still got plenty of time left, and Snead's got plenty of time left. And so it's, you know, I hate to say it's trying to get to the Super Bowl when that new stadium opens up, but it kind of feels like it's trying to get to the Super Bowl when that new stadium opens up.
Yeah. And I'm with you on the Levis. I think, you know, I think you look around the league, you know, some of these quarterback moves, a lot of just general NFL reporters are throwing the Titans in on some of these, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, what about the Titans, Justin Fields or whatever? It's like, no, what? No.
Well, if the Titans weren't in on Levis, then why wouldn't they have given a sixth for Justin Fields? I mean, come on.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So, and I think that's the thing. It's like, look, no one knows what Will Levis is going to be for sure, but what you hear internally is not we hope he's good. It's we think he is, right? Like, and these moves. I mean, I don't see how you could possibly look at all of this and not have that verified.
Well, you remember when we had the Nick Holes press conference? You know, Brian Callahan was always a little cagey about talking about Levis. But Holes let the cat out of the bag when he was like, oh, yeah, when you take this job, it's because you're excited about what he's got to offer this team. I mean, he was very vocal about how talented they think Will Levis is, and saying that was part of the reason that the job was appealing to them. So I think there's a belief within the coaching staff from what they've seen from Will Levis that he's got the goods. He's tough. He's fully committed to the job. We've seen that. And he can make the throws. Now, there's those intangibles within quarterbacks that separate the good ones from the truly great ones. And those things will be revealed. And they've got to find a way to not get him killed. And that's perhaps the biggest question still in front of this team. You know, can they put something together to not get the quarterback killed?
Corey Curtis is with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Corey, is this with Snead now in? Snead, Cheeto, Roger McCreary, I think pretty clearly the best starting trio at corner they've ever had in the history of the franchise, at least in the Tennessee portion of it.
Well, when they had Samari and they had Andre Dyson.
They did.
That was a pretty good duo. Who paired with Finnegan?
Was that Nick Harper? I'm trying to remember who that was.
Gosh, I can't. It's old. I can't remember. But, yeah, I mean, Samari Dice was pretty good. And we'll see how these guys, you know, work together. But, you know, on paper, look, financially they're spending a ton of money on this group, you know, because you put those two together and then you put Amani Hooker in there. And then you consider Roger McCreary as a second-round pick. I mean, that group you're invested in needs to be really, really good. We've said that about groups with this team before where they've been invested in and they haven't gotten enough from. Now there's more proof on film for the guys they've got now because they didn't draft them. We're good with other teams. So, you know, it should look pretty good, and it should afford some of those guys up front a half second more to get some sacks instead of having to get there in 2 seconds every time. So we'll see.
So we were talking about this offseason, Corey, compared to big splash offseasons of the past. The obvious one, you know, comes to mind is John Robinson's first one, trading the one pick, getting DeMarco Murray, Ben Jones, et cetera. Anything else that you can think of that compares to this kind of aggression?
Well, there was a year, and forgive me if I get these players wrong, because like I said, it's been over 20 years, but I think they brought in David Thornton, Chris Hope, Kevin Mawai, all in the same offseason, and there was a fourth in there. Who I'm forgetting, but that was a franchise altering free agent class that they brought in, and those guys were all good, and they all led to that 2018, that was a big one. They've had other ones where they've kind of splashed and brought in some people, like you talked about John's first year. You know, when you bring in a Ben Jones and a DeMarco Murray, that changes things. But that's the one class that really you know, Kevin Mowai's a Hall of Famer. David Thornton was a really good football player for this team. Chris Hope had really good years for this football team. And those guys led this team to a number one seed in the AFC. So, you know, that is the other one that I would put up there with it.
Hey, they brought in David Givens that year, too. That worked out well.
Well, you know, look, everybody talks about that. You can't help when guys get hurt.
I know.
All right? You can't. I mean, David Givens was really good with the Patriots. Is anybody going to disagree with that?
No. He was really good.
So, I mean, I remember when they signed, I was like, David Givens, holy cow. You know, this team, you know, they had, you know, and we're still talking about Derek Mason because he's been, you know, he and A.J. Brown are about it for this team. I mean, forgive me, Drew Bennett was a good football player, but he wasn't A.J. Brown. And, you know, that type of guy they hadn't had a lot of, and David Givens had some really good years, and his knee exploded on him. It was, I mean, sad for him, sad for the Titans, because that was a big investment at the time.
Corey, last thing for you here. Preds win again, 1-0 against Detroit on Saturday. That's 17 in a row where they've had at least a point. And all of a sudden, they're 5 points back of Winnipeg for third in the division. So maybe looking ahead instead of looking back right now.
Yeah. I still say matchup is more important than seeding. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. And we'll see how much gas they've got in the tank when the playoffs get here. You know, their effort level is really incredible right now. I mean, you see even the game-winning goal against Detroit, that's just an effort goal. That's just staying after it. And they're getting a bunch of those right now. And I think I said this last night on Sports Extra, this 17-game streak is the most unexpected streak that I've ever covered in 30 years of doing sports.
Wow.
I mean, from where this team was, and from what you thought of the guys that they were putting on the ice, a lot of what we would just kind of call randos, right? You know, just kind of guys. And they, I mean, to put together this 17-game skid, and, you know, look, they haven't played 17 bad teams, all right? They're beating good teams as well. They're extremely confident, and they're just running over everything in their way. And it's spectacular to watch. It's fun to watch. I continue to say they could play great in the first round and still lose. And that goes for just about everybody in the NHL. Because it's tough, and they're going to have a tough matchup in round one, but this is incredible. I mean, it really, really, really is. You know, Barry's got to be up for GM of the year. You know, Coach Burnett's got to be up for Jack Adams. Roman's got to be up, you know, for the Norris at this point. I don't know where Juice is in any type of talk for the Vezina. But I mean, you know, the way they're finishing is really, really, I mean, spectacular. And it's, you know, you keep expecting them to have that let up game, and it's not happening. Like when they went to Florida, I thought this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, they just got to 15, and this is good. And they go down there and they shut out the Panthers. I mean, are you kidding me? And so it's just, it's continually spectacular to watch. And, wow. I know that's my expert thing to say. Wow.
It's been a lot of fun, no question about that. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Corey, appreciate you as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
You know, we didn't have one conversation. I mean, I guess Justin Fields' name came up, but we didn't have one commentary here about the NFC North.
Not one.
No.
Very quiet stuff right now. Very quiet division.
Yeah,
it's a rarity.
Team to beat. We know that. So.
Yes, we do.
As usual.
Per usual. That's right. Thank you, Corey.
Yep, you got it. You guys have a good one.
You too. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Take your thoughts on the Legarius Sneed trade from the Titans from the Kansas City Chiefs. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Fallout Boy at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Sunday, March 31st. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Fall Out Boy at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, March the 31st. Rex, are you a big Fall Out Boy fan? Dramatic pause.
That was actually me muted. I wouldn't say I'm a big fan. I think I know a song or two that are all right, pretty good.
Okay. It's better than terrible.
It's better than what I say about some bands.
It is. Your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. The Legarius Sneed trade. Titans give up a third-round pick in 2025, a pick swap this year's draft in the seventh round. So the draft compensation, not a ton that they've given up. Now, obviously, there's value in a third-round pick, Joe, and you're giving up a third-round pick for a player. But, I mean, if Legarius Sneed is what he's been in Kansas City to this point, I have no problem with giving up the third-round pick and the money that the Titans have paid for him as well. Four-year deal for Legarius Sneed, about $55 million guaranteed at this point, and it looks like the Titans have found their number one corner. What do you make of the way this whole thing went down where, as we talked about on the show last week, the Titans at one point were in on Legarius Sneed. It felt like that ship had sailed, and they hung around and got the deal done over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, look, I kind of just moved on personally. It was very, very close to happening. The first couple of days of free agency, and then it's like, okay, well, for whatever reason, didn't happen. And I'd love to know what the conversation was of compensation at the time compared to how it turned out.
Yep.
It looks like the price went down. And I know some people have asked, you know, like the physical and everything. I mean, this hasn't been made official yet. So he's had a knee that has bothered him. So, you know, it I guess you always worry about stuff like that. Like, is there a more serious physical situation with someone like that? If the Chiefs were trying to, were this desperate to move on from him, if you're the Chiefs, I guess I would have rather just had him play on the tag, right? Just because this year you have a better chance of winning it all again,
right,
with him. And I understand, like, you'd rather get the third round pick back than just let him walk next year. But also, he could be the difference. Their defense was huge for them. Obviously they didn't want to pay him the long term deal. I do wonder about that. Like, why not? You know, I mean, obviously, but as you said earlier, the thing is sometimes you do have to make tough decisions because there are financial considerations in this league, whether some people want to believe it or not.
And then with Sneed coming in, you've got Sneed, you've got a Woozy that you've added this offseason, and you've also got, obviously, Roger McCreary that was already in place. We've had people, you know, Corey brought up, you know, Cortland Finnegan, and we've determined that Nick Harper did play with Cortland Finnegan. He also played with Algeron Verner through a stretch as well. I mean, that one is not this. Cortland Finnegan played some good football for the Titans, but that's not what this is. I mean, Roll and Dyson is probably the closest one when you had Samari Roll and Andre Dyson. I mean, that to me is kind of like
that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. That's probably the closest one. But I do think up between the three of them on paper, this is the strongest starting corner group they've had.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's like defenses now are like the three corner defenses, right? Whereas before, that's not how it would seem. So it's apples and oranges a little bit. But when you consider McCreary, who I happen to think is really good, and even last year through all the ups and downs, I thought was really good. Yeah, it's the trio is the best. But yeah, it's like, I mean, who was their, you know, who was their nickelback back then?
God, I'm trying to even think.
It wasn't someone you consider in the base defense. No. You know, that's just not how it was back then. But yeah, there is, like, again, on the Sneed knee. I mean, he did have swelling and missed some time in training camp. So there is that. You know, there is the worry that he could have a lingering knee thing moving forward. So that's something to obviously keep in mind, in the physical and all that stuff.
Yep, for sure. And hopefully everything goes well with that point, and Tennessee Jim Wyatt put on TennesseeTitans.com yesterday that that process is still kind of undergoing, and if everything goes well with the physical, could be announced here in the next couple of days. I mean, I think it kind of underscores the aggressiveness that we've seen from Rand Carthon this offseason. You go out, you trade for Snead. You bring in Calvin Ridley, the number one option at wide receiver. Cushenberry up the middle at the center position. Awuzie before that on the defensive side of the ball. It's been a lot of moves, a lot of big moves that the Titans have made this offseason. What do we make of the aggressiveness from Rand Carthon and the Tennessee Titans? And how is that going to translate to what we see on the field this year in Will Levis's second season? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser. Titans continue to make big moves. Lajarius Sneed being acquired by the Titans over the weekend. It's been a busy offseason for Rand Carthon and the Titans. What do we make of, Joe, what I'm officially dubbing hashtag Rand's plan that we've seen so far this offseason in free agency? Calvin Ridley, Lloyd Cushenberry, Tony Pollard, Cheeto coming in from Cincinnati. Now Lajarius Sneed added to the mix as well. Been a lot of big moves made by the Titans, a lot of money spent by the Titans. What do you make of the way that Rand Carthon has approached free agency and the way that the Titans have handled this offseason?
Rand's formative, Robbie. Rand's formative. So you started this with Rand's plan, and you know it gets the bad puns percolating in the brain.
It's
there.
Growing on.
But okay, good. By the way, I think a lot of people contributed on. I think with Kieser, it's nicked off, right? I think nicked off is
nicked off.
I think Zach and some other people. I think so, right? What do you think, Kieser? So. You all right with that? All the other ones suck.
Yeah, there's not very many good things you can say with my name. That's interesting. We can go for now.
Okay, stew on that for a little bit. Look, it's on paper. I mean, anybody, like, if right now you're like, well, we don't know how these players are going to work out. Well, yeah, that's true every year. I'm sure at least one of these signings will end up being terrible because of an injury, probably, right? Just performance or whatever. I mean, it's just what we have right now is information. What we have right now is, we talked about it today, it's guys at the top of their positions who are moving teams in this offseason. Most free agents, but also then the trade was for Snead. So it's pretty impressive to me. It is transformative. I mean, it's, you know, if you figure out that offensive line and then, you know, you can help that front seven too, then, you know, you're not going to address everything, but this is a very different looking football team. And you know, obviously along with all these moves, we have a new coordinator and a new D coordinator in town. And so we're going to find out, you know, what they've got in store. I mean, I'm very interested to see what Denard Wilson does with this defense, with these corners, with this quality at corner, someone who's already known to be aggressive. And of course, obviously Brian Callahan is here as a quarterback guy and as an offensive guy. And that's a much better looking group, especially it's like we're projecting the left tackle.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're going to draft the left tackle. I know a lot of people coming with the, maybe they should go whatever, Dallas Turner or somebody like that, and then do a second round tackle. Again, to me, if you think Joe Alt is a great tackle and is going to be a great left tackle, then you just take Joe Alt.
Yes.
But it could work out that way. And again, you can also get a Fisk or a Sweat or somebody like that in the second round.
You could, and I still think receiver is on the table and should be on the table. Whether that's probably more likely in the second round than it would be the first round. But, I mean, look, I had somebody ask me yesterday about, like, if Alt is gone and he's clearly your best option, if you're the Titans looking at it and you think there's a significant gap, would you go Dallas Turner off the edge at number seven? Would you, you know, try to find your tackle in the second round? At that point, I'm not saying that can't happen, But if Joe Alt is off the board, that probably means one of those receivers is there for you. I'd take a receiver at that point. Because, again, I know you have Ridley and Hopkins, but Hopkins has one more year left. At some point, you're going to need another receiver. I would not be opposed to, if Alt is gone, wide receiver still being in play at number seven. But regardless if it's at number seven or not, we are projecting left tackle to be a high pick for the Titans. And for, if things go well, to be a transformative pick where you've got your starting left tackle for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just where their evaluation is just, we don't know it. And that's going to be obviously critical here. If some of the, there's going to be some offensive tackles that go in the second round. If they have a lot of those guys roughly the same, then there you go. You can do that. And if, for whatever reason, someone really wants to get to seven and they get back and, like, take Brock Bowers in the middle of the draft. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's that too. But, you know, they're not going to hit all these needs. But what Rand has done here is hit a lot of them, and he's improved. And the Titans, on paper, not knowing how it works out, they are better at receiver as an overall entity. They are better at center. I mean, that's the thing. I would say they're better at offensive line because of Cushenberry.
Correct.
They're way better at corner. I mean, last year it's like still kind of banged up and sort of frantically making mistakes, Fulton, and then, you know, the revolving door at corner versus what they have now. They are certainly not as good up front on defense.
Yep.
You know, that's the big, other than left tackle, to me, the big concern. It's always going to be a line of scrimmage game. But, man, it's a lot of work done for one offseason. It shows you how much work they had to have done that were, you know, that there's still these holes and we're still asking, is this a playoff team? Could this be a team? But I'm looking right now, the way things are trending, and if they have a good draft, then, yeah, this team can next year go after 9-10 wins and try to get in the playoffs.
They can be there. It's still some holes to fill for sure. I mean, look, left tackle, I still think right tackle is a hole. So you got two pretty important spots on your offensive line. One thing that we did find out this weekend, you know, Jim Wyatt of Tennessee Titans put it out there on TennesseeTitans.com. Rand Carthon saying that he did try to bring back Azeez Al-Shaair and Denico Autry. Did not work, obviously. Those two ended up with the Texans. But did try to bring back Azeez Al-Shaair and Denico Autry, and just didn't work out between those two parties. So I thought it was good to at least know that they tried to bring back Autry, because I was worried for a minute that they didn't. But apparently he just liked the opportunity with Houston better.
Yeah, I was going back and forth with someone earlier about that. Like, well, you know, that's Rand's side of the story. I'm like, well, first of all, he's not going to go at the owners' meetings, talk to reporters, and tell them that they tried to sign them if he's lying.
Right.
Right? I mean, those guys will hear that. Their agents will hear that. Now, is it possible that it was about an offer and the Texans, you know, they lowballed? It's possible. Azeez Al-Shaair played for D'Amico Ryans. Look, man, if you're the Houston Texans and you see what C.J. Stroud just did, if you're a player in this league, players in this league want to win too. Yes, you want to get the best possible deal, good situation, you want to live someplace, you want all that stuff. But, like, if you're a free agent in this league and you see what D'Amico Ryans as a head coach, and you played for him in San Fran, you probably love the guy,
yeah,
and now you see what Stroud's doing, I can see Azeez Al-Shaair saying, yep, I want to be a part of that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's understandable. The Autry one is a bigger loss. So is it just as simple as that with him, too? Like, I'm sick of losing. That's two straight losing seasons in Nashville. Sick of it. And that team's winning, and they have the most exciting young quarterback in the game right now. I mean, sometimes those are things that make decisions, too.
Well, and then, of course, I mean, you know, Rand Carthon said that they wanted to bring it back. He didn't say what the offer was and the money and all those things, and, you know, how far apart was all that. So there's that that we're just left to speculate on. But speaking of the money, like, one thing I think we can now put to rest that – I never thought was a big thing anyway, and we kind of went through this in the offseason as to why we thought that way. But one thing I think we could put to rest is, if you thought that the Titans just, like, were never going to spend money and we're never going to be players in free agency, that one's done this offseason. They're spending a whole lot of money out there. A lot of money coming in.
Yeah. Yes, that one is toast. And it is, again, go back to the canned Amy Adams drunk interview with Mike Keith mentioning cap space. Like, you know, Titans fans should be excited. And at the time, everybody was furious, right? You know, the firing Vrabel, what the heck's going on? Didn't trade, all those things. You know, it's amazing in the moment you think one thing and how things can change. But she said cap space. I mean, if an owner's going to say that, I mean, how could you possibly think that there's anything but a green light on it, you know, for the
– right.
But also, I know, and that's where people were taken as like maybe preemptive spin from Rand, like in Indy, when he's like, you know, you don't just want to – but that's true. You don't just spend for the sake of spending. You spend when you get good players like they have been able to do. If they wouldn't have been able to pull off the trade or been able to win on Cushenberry and win on Awuzie, you know, and pull off and win on Ridley, well, then they wouldn't have spent this money. They'd have a bunch, and we'd all be wondering if Amy's not letting them spend money.
Yeah, and, you know, as we talked about too, I mean, the plan, hashtag Rand's plan, this offseason, is also aided by the fact that you don't have Ryan Tannehill on a contract. You're not paying Kevin Byard the money you were paying him. You're not paying Derrick Henry the money you were paying him. And I know they replaced some of that with Pollard and all these different things, but they just had a ton of cap space available to them, and they're using it to their advantage. And we'll see how it works out. Like, they still got a lot of things to figure out here. And to your point, Joe, like, if they're long-term going to be successful, they have to start hitting on draft picks at a much, much higher rate that they've been hitting on draft picks recently, and that, because that's got to be the bedrock of your team. But certainly, I think if you're a Titans fan today, we've heard from them all morning long, very excited about what they've seen from free agency, and it's kind of a different offseason from that standpoint in terms of not only the money being spent, but just the quantity of free agents being brought in. It's a lot that they've done.
Exactly. Look, the successful teams in this league draft well. And that's what they did under John Robinson, and then they stopped doing it under John Robinson. And I know that the A.J. Brown trade is that's the critical error, but it really is so much about just bad drafting
yeah.
later in his tenure as opposed to good drafting early in his tenure. Now, I think someone just asked about Jalen Duncan, by the way. I mean, Jalen Duncan, I'm interested to see what Bill Callahan does with him, but that's why he was drafted where he was, right? Like, it's like he has some traits – hasn't put all together. We'll see. I mean, if he can be a good depth guy for this team, that's a good outcome for a 6-round pick.
Correct.
But I think last year's draft has a chance to be pretty good. Well, shoot, it's Levis, right? I mean, they're building all this stuff around Levis, and if he's what they think he is, not what they hope he is, what they think he is, then it's going to be a great draft. But you have to stack those drafts. So after all these things, it's still like the next few years of the Titans hinge so much on what they do in those last few days of April.
Coming up next, final thoughts on the Titans, the L'Jarius Sneed trade, also Tennessee advancing to the Sweet 16 over the weekend in the NCAA tournament, and the Preds remain hot. They win again on Saturday, shutting out the Detroit Red Wings. We'll give our final thoughts, take yours as well on all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, fresh off a trip to Charlotte, North Carolina. Tennessee holds on and advances to the Sweet 16 Saturday with a win against Texas. They'll take on Creighton coming up on Friday night in the Sweet 16. Joe, it was not pretty. The shooting was terrible for most of the game, really from both sides, but for Tennessee in particular from three. At one point, they were 1 of 21 for the three-point line. They finished 3 of 25, but they hold on 62-58 the final against Texas, and they now take on Creighton in the Sweet 16. Your thoughts on what you've seen from the Vols to this point and maybe the concern level that Tennessee fans should have given the fact that two of the last three times we've seen them play, the shooting has been absolutely abysmal.
Yeah, it's it is very much a eye of the beholder kind of thing with the Vols right now. I mean, I tend to be more on the side of you got to the Sweet 16, you were terrible shooting the basketball, you executed your offense and got shots, you were fantastic on defense, you were clutch late at the foul line, you're in the Sweet 16 for the 10th time in the history of the program and the third time under Rick Barnes. By the way, 30% of the all-time total belongs to Rick Barnes.
Back-to-back years.
But you shot terrible. That's right. That's right. But you shot terribly. So what does it all mean? I mean, like, first of all, you should be happy if you're a Tennessee fan. And yes, you should be worried that it will continue, because if it does, well, look, if they shoot like this, I don't think they'll beat Creighton. I like the matchup against Creighton. We'll get more into the matchup this week. I think it's actually a pretty darn good matchup. They do have the 7-footer, Kalkbrenner. So that's, you know, the bigs have to show up. But I think that Tennessee is going to have a better time guarding what Creighton does, and they shoot the heck out of the three. But the matchups are better for the Vols than what Creighton's going to have to try to do defending the Vols. But you still have to hit shots. You have to hit open shots. The two guys I'm concerned about are the two best shooters, which is Dalton Connect and Zakai Ziegler. They are slumping, along with the other guys we've been talking about. Gainey is in a terrible slump. Jordan Gainey. And then, you know, Vescovy, too, like, he has no confidence. Josiah James stepped up, hit a big three in this game, got 9 points. That was a nice development for them. But it comes down to those two guys, your point guard and your star wing. And they were still the best two players in this game. And everything they did in the game pushed the balls to Detroit. But, man, you got to hit some shots. And I do think it got in their heads as a team. And it was at one point, I'm like, they are going to lose this game and just go down in just an absolute just storm of bricks. And it's just going to be – and the thing is, if it would have happened, Robbie, what would people be saying? It'd be Rick Barr, regular season Rick, blah, blah. Dude, like, I some things are – like, what is – he's standing there like everybody else. They ran a good set. There's a wide-open three in the corner. They ran a good set. There's a wide-open three up top. He can't shoot for them.
I understand that, but that's what the discourse would be today if that's what happened.
Yes.
They could have shot one from 40 from three, and it would still have been about Rick Barnes.
Well, if they took 40, then I think you look at Barnes and say, okay, you need to scream at your team and say, the next 5 minutes, let's just drive or whatever, right? I mean, 25 threes is a reasonable number in a game. That's, you know, I mean, that's not insane. It's just that when you miss 22, it seems insane.
It does.
Right? But look, I mean, they, like, late in that game, they executed. They got some really good looks around the basket, and in the foul line. That's where you, especially Adu. I mean, Connect, he hasn't been great this year. Mike Wilson had a great story at Knoxville News Sentinel about how Rick Barnes, you know, stepped into a basket in the practice gym and said, "See, like, you got to put some more arc in your free throw."
Yeah.
But you expect that guy's got to hit those. Good for him. That's a big time moment for a guy who could be a star of this whole tournament. But Adu hitting three in a row, man, that is huge. It's a 1-1, and they're up one, and he hits both with 24 seconds left. I mean, that is clutch from a big man. So you have to also give them credit for, when it came down to it, handling the pressure of the moment and making the plays you absolutely had to make.
He's going to be big moving forward. We're talking about Adu in terms of, like you said, these matchups against the bigs coming up. But I thought there were times in the game, and you may disagree with this, and let me know if you do. I thought there were times in the game Saturday where he was a little too timid out there and wasn't quite as aggressive as he needed to be. And they can't have that. Like, they've got to have him being assertive when he plays. And look, you're going to miss some shots, but I thought there was a little bit too much timidity in his game on Saturday, which has got to step up. And look, to his credit, he responded to that, had some big free throws that he hit, but they need him to be a little bit more aggressive than he was on Saturday.
In the first two, or the first 5 minutes of the game, I tweeted this. He could have had 10 points right away, and he's getting stripped inside and not being strong with the ball. I thought it was going to be a bad night for him, but Texas doesn't have anybody height-wise you can deal with him. Creighton does. Kalkbrenner, and you're right. Now, I do think Awaka, who honestly, Awaka could have had 25 against Texas because he's so powerful that nobody had any chance against him. He could also be really big Friday, too, against Kalkbrenner. Those two guys, and, you know, this whole weekend, if it's Kalkbrenner and then you get to Zach Edey, you can get by Friday. I mean, I think you might see some J.P. Estrella out there, too. Yep. You know, that's one thing the Vols have. They have bodies and fouls they can throw at 7-footers, too, if needed.
Preds win again Saturday. They're at 17 in a row now in the point streak, 15-0-2. Joe, a huge one tomorrow against Vegas in terms of where the wild card race is right now. If you win that game against Vegas, especially if you can do it in regulation, you're in great shape, not only to make the playoffs, but really probably to be at least in the first wild card spot. And if you don't, they're only 3 points back. So a massive game tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, absolutely gigantic. And I mean, I'm sad that I'm leaving, because otherwise I would be there. I really want to see what this building is like, because seems like old times. I mean, this is, again, we're talking about stuff several years ago, and there's a lot of things that are starting to make you think of that.
Yep, a lot of things. We'll see if they can go for another game tomorrow at home, going to the point streak to 18 games, if they can get at least a point tomorrow against the Vegas Golden Knights. Only 5 back of Winnipeg for third place in the division. So things getting pretty interesting with the Nashville Predators with 11 games left in the regular season. That's going to do it for us today. Joe, get you a nap.
I think I will.
Good.
Thank you.
That's very good. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.